to coast, from border to border, from sea to shining sea, Sean Hannity is on.
You're listening to a special edition of the Sean Hannity Program, America Under Attack.
And welcome aboard. Glad you're with us. It is the Sean Hannity Show. This is America Under Attack, a special edition. As we start the program here, I'm just getting an AP wire. And devastating personal news for me is that, according to this AP report, a personal friend was on the plane that actually went down in the Pentagon, and that would be Barbara Olson. Wrote the book about Hillary Clinton, Hell to Pay. Thank you for being with us. Let me give our toll-free number with special instructions today. It's 1-800-941-7326, 1-800-941-SEAN. We got a lot of news and information will be given out to everybody throughout the day. We're going to check in with Governor Frank Keating will be joining us. Casper Weinberger will be checking in the course of the program today. Ed Meese. We have a number of congressmen that will be checking in, eyewitnesses to everything that has happened today. If you're just joining us, or perhaps you've been out of pocket somewhat today, just to recap very quickly, a day that will live in infamy, as many people have said today, America under attack. It all started shortly before 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning when a plane crashed into the tower of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan. And then a second plane crashed into the second tower of the World Trade Center shortly after 9. Not long after that, an aircraft crashed near the Pentagon, just outside of Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia, about an hour after the attacks in New York. Government buildings in Washington, including the Capitol and the White House, have been evacuated. Washington, D.C. has declared a state of emergency. Our affiliate there, WMAL, has been informing listeners for the longest time. Warships have even been deployed in New York, and fighter planes have been flying over the state of New York. The Federal Aviation Administration has shut down all aircraft takeoffs nationwide. The whole system is down. We know that shortly after 10 a.m., one of the World Trade Center towers collapsed. And I'll give you some vital information about this in a minute. An hour after being hit by the plane, then the second World Trade Center building collapsed also. American Airlines, in fact, noted that one of the planes that crashed near the Trade Center was the American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles. And we'll be giving you as much information as possible in the course of today's broadcast. But if you have any information, if you were part of anything that went on today, or you know, or you saw, or witnessed any of this, our toll-free number is 800-941-SEAN, 1-800-941-7326. We start the program today. Bob Krause is with us, and he's in our studios in New York. And Bob apparently was in one of the World Trade Center buildings today. Bob, welcome aboard. Are you there?
Bob is here, Sean. We're going to hook him up momentarily. He's having difficulty hearing from his headphones.
Hi, how
Sean.
You doing?
Oh, hey, Bob. That's Curtis Sliwa, by the way. He is the morning host at our local flagship here, WABC in New York. Curtis and Ron Kuby will be with us also coming up today. Bob, you were in the World Trade Center building today?
Yes, I was.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was on the 84th floor conducting regular business, and we heard an explosion. And then for some reason or another, one of us looked out the window, and we all ran to the side of the window, basically seeing like a ticker tape parade, but 10 times or 10,000 times as much paper floating down from higher than where we were. So we were trying to figure that out. So looking up the window, we had seen a tremendous amount of white smoke. So mm-hmm. We all kind of determined that there was some kind of explosion above us.
What did you feel when you were inside the building?
Absolutely nothing.
You felt nothing?
Nothing, because we were on the other building.
Okay.
We thought it was above us.
Right.
And it was actually the building next to us.
Right.
But since my company was in the 1993 bombing, we mm-hmm. didn't hesitate, and we just says, we're out of here.
Sure. And you just started. Now, was there a big rush to get out of the building?
Everybody really was calm. Mm-hmm. And we were going down the stairwell, because you're not allowed to use the elevators at that point in time. And basically, you know, saying, okay, we're going through this again, and with today being 2001, many more people had cell phones versus 1993, as well as many people had beepers with news flashes going across it.
Right.
So we were informed easily that there was a build that a plane had crashed into World Trade Center 1. And we were in 2, so we were kind of a little bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were going down and down and down, we got to one of the main lobbies, which is the 44th floor. And there must have been 300 or 400 people, maybe more, all gathered around trying to figure out where the next stairwell is.
Right.
And there was a man with a microphone basically telling us to be calm and to remain calm and to be relaxed. And a couple of people were, you know, a little bit upset. Some people were having trouble breathing because it was a tremendous walk down from where we were. And there were people, I'm sure, from higher floors.
Mm-hmm.
And within less than a minute, all of a sudden, our building had a big explosion and shook.
And where were you at that time?
I was on the 44th floor.
Right.
And as I said, there was a big explosion. The building shook tremendously, and a lot of debris and glass were flying all over the place. And we all ran in the opposite direction of where that explosion was.
Sure.
A little stampeding. Fortunately, no one was stepped on that I can see. Some people did drop to the floor. As everybody calmed down, when all the, you know, I guess the calm came back, there were some shoes, there were some pocketbooks, bottles of water, you know, people. And eventually, fortunately, this group of people, as long as myself, found these stairwells, and we proceeded to go down.
Did you have any idea at that time what had happened?
Not the second time around.
You know, for those that don't know, now you're on the 84th floor.
Yes.
The World Trade Center, for those that don't know around the country, I mean, in a city full of famous buildings, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, it really outdid the mall. It was a massive glass, steel sculpture. Really, especially if you would fly above Manhattan, seemed to float above the tip of lower Manhattan. There were 110 floors on each of the buildings. And it was really a marvel, an architectural marvel that provided, you know, a home for 1,200 businesses, many of them involved in trade and so on and so forth and in other endeavors. But the Twin Towers completed in 1976, 43,000 windows, 99 elevators in the building, 1,350 feet tall, and designed to be really a hub for international trade. I mean, it is just staggering what happened here today. Tell us what happened when you got out. You went down, I assume you walked all the way out the rest of the 44 floors?
We walked down 44 more flights and actually came to the concourse where it's the ground level where there's a fountain in between the two buildings in a beautiful little area, and there was tons of debris that had come down. I mean, the whole place was covered, and a bunch of us were thinking that maybe it was the wings that got sheared off when the plane went into the building. I mean, we had really had no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, the emergency people got us out, and I pity them because I have a feeling that most of them did not get out when the building collapsed, which is a really sad thing. But there were tons and tons of police and fire engines and
it was surreal.
It really was.
How far were you from the towers when they started collapsing?
I was probably about 10 or 12 blocks north.
Yeah, and you probably almost instantaneously were hit with debris and dust.
Well, actually, the dust maybe a little bit, but I think 10 blocks was pretty far away because we just turned around. And people were running, I mean, after walking 84 flights, I wasn't really running too quickly. And I, you know, there was no debris or anything 10 blocks away.
Yeah.
I'm sure they say there's a couple of inches or whatever surrounding the entire lower area now.
All right, Bob Krause, who was there, and I witnessed everything that happened today in the sad tragedy. Bob, we're glad you made it out alive, and I know it was a very tough day for you. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We're now going to go to our newsmaker line also. Oklahoma City bombing, of course, is the next closest in terms of size and magnitude of terror brought on American soil, and the governor of Oklahoma, Frank Keating, is now with us on our newsmaker line. Governor Keating, thank you for being with us.
Oh, hi, Sean. This is really a day of agony, and our collective prayers here are for you and all of your fellow New Yorkers. This is an American tragedy of no dimension. I mean, it is just incomprehensible, incalculable. It is not even on the chart. It's so far off the chart.
You know, you and I have had many discussions, and I told you how many times I admired you under fire during that terrible time that you lived through. And you don't think it could get worse. We didn't think prior to Oklahoma City that we would experience this type of terror on American soil. And here we are under fire again in what is one of the most horrific, but yet, well, in a sinister and evil sense, orchestrated attacks. I mean, this obviously was a planned attack to instill as much fear and terror and murder and mayhem as possible on the American people.
In Oklahoma City, Sean, as you know, it was a domestic attack from twisted, perverted, evil individuals who wanted to make a political statement. In New York, it was an international terrorist attack, ostensibly, by twisted, evil, perverted people who wanted to make a political statement. Tonight, there are innocent men, women, and children who are not going to be with their families, all gone as a result of this unspeakable act of evil. It's just an absolute horror. It's indescribable.
The Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the attacks on the World Trade Center. Governor, perhaps this isn't even the right day to bring this up here, but it appears that the terrorists apparently hijacked four planes and attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, could only have succeeded by using their own trained pilots in some scheme that defied every scenario envisioned by national security officials. But how is it possible that potentially four planes were hijacked at the same time? What does that tell us about the safety of this industry?
Well, it certainly shows that these are extraordinarily well-trained people and extraordinarily focused people who have an agenda and intend to carry it out. It's inconceivable to me that they would be able to pull this off, but they did. The only places, as you know, Sean, in our country that arguably are reasonably safe from this are airports.
Yeah.
It'd be different if somebody hauled in a truck or a bus or something, but these are airports, probably three different airports, Boston, Pittsburgh, and the airport in Washington, Dulles Airport, were the site of the departed aircraft. I think what's going to come from this, obviously, is a bottom-up analysis of American intelligence capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
There appeared to be a tremendous lapse here somewhere, and to suggest that there won't be any result, I think, is being rather fanciful. I think we're going to have a much more thorough review of border policies. The Immigration Service used to be under me, and my view always was that we didn't have any ability to toss out illegal aliens or to protect our borders.
Governor, we got to take a break, and we're going to let you go because I know you have a lot to do today. We have an update from ABC News. Thank you, Governor Frank Keating, and we'll check in with ABC News.
America Under Attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program with this special report.
One senator calls it an act of war, another a second Pearl Harbor. The attack against the United States this morning, four commercial jetliners were hijacked and used as rockets. The World Trade Center in New York City was attacked and destroyed, the plane slamming right into the Twin Towers, which collapsed. The Pentagon was next, a plane crashing into it, causing massive destruction. Another plane apparently crashed short of its mark about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. It's thought it was destined to attack Camp David. New York City looks like a war zone. It's been sealed. ABC's Steve Taylor's at Liberty Park in New Jersey with us live. Steve?
Larry, the mayor of New York, with the streets blocked, has urged the people who can to walk out of the disaster scene, the financial district. For those who can't, hundreds of survivors who are injured, many of them are getting out by boat and coming here to the New Jersey waterfront where ambulances are waiting to take care of them. Also here, signs that this will be an extended rescue effort. As those boats go back, I'm seeing they are carrying portable lighting equipment and generating units for use over at the location where the World Trade Center was. Larry?
ABC Steve Taylor with us live across the Hudson, where he could see the devastation in Lower Manhattan. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
Our coverage of America Under Attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program.
All right, as we continue on, It's a sad day in America, the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and we're now going, I believe, I'm not really sure, at, I believe Steve Sandberg's standing by. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sean. Right now, city officials say the top priority is securing the safety of those trapped in the rubble. Some 2,000 rescue personnel on the scene at the World Trade Center. A shaken Mayor Giuliani arrived there moments after the first plane hit.
Driver, it was the most horrific scene I've ever seen in my whole life. We saw the World Trade Center in flames, a big gaping hole all the way on the top of it. We could see people jumping from the top of the building.
Officials estimate at least 10,000 people were in the World Trade Center at the time. They would not speculate the number of casualties, but thousands injured are being rushed to area hospitals. In Lower Manhattan, Steve Sandberg, WABC News.
And thanks, Steve, as we continue a special edition of the Sean Hannity Show. We'll also be taking some of your calls later on in the day. 800-941-SEAN, 1-800-941-SEAN, if you want to jump on board. Now, the president has also spoken out on this. President Bush, earlier today at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, said, quote, freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. And he said, I want to assure and reassure the American people that the full resources of the federal government are working to assist local authorities to save lives, to help the victims of these attacks. Make no mistakes, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. As we continue on in the Sean Hannity Show, do we still have Governor Keating there, GQ? Okay, we're also going to be checking in with a number of people throughout the afternoon here. But we have Curtis Sliwa, who's with us. He hosts the morning show at our affiliate here in New York, WABC, along with Ron Kuby. I'll start with you, Ron. Ron, you have, you've defended some people associated with terrorists. What's in their minds?
Well, you know, I've represented various armed organizations, including Islamists. And usually when you're dealing with people who engage in symbolic violence or politically motivated violence, there's some sort of strategic goal to be achieved. And there's some sort of concern about loss of life or making the attack as narrow as possible to score a symbolic victory. But with the Islamists who I've represented, and these were the people implicated and ultimately convicted in the Trade Center bombing and the second conspiracy that spun off of that, there was absolutely no concern about innocent life, even innocent Islamic life. There were some brief discussions during one of the bombing conspiracies when they were talking about planting a bomb in the Holland Tunnel about what happens if innocent Muslims happen to be in the tunnel at the time, and basically it was sort of shrugged off as collateral damage. I think it's very, very difficult when you deal with people who are so motivated by a type of religiosity where they consider themselves sort of in personal relationship with the Almighty, that's telling them that it's acceptable to do these things. It's very difficult to get a handle on them. It's very difficult to stop them. I mean, we've talked about the death penalty, but when you're dealing with people who are willing to hijack airplanes and crash them into buildings or strap themselves up with explosives and blow up pizza parlors, it's very hard to have the death penalty as some sort of credible deterrent.
Well, you know, I think the question is, I don't know how it's possible to hijack five commercial airliners from major airports, one of them Dulles International, to do so within a set time frame. Obvious targets like the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers, obviously in a position where they're not defended, and it raises so many fundamental questions about what we need to do to secure our lives. Curtis, you mentioned earlier today, I agree with you, I think life as we know it will be changed from the time that we arrive at airports, what the process will be when we go through an airport. If we think going through a metal detector now is going to be the norm, I think it's going to get probably a lot more secure, and it should be.
Well, in fact, Sean, you travel a great deal, and I was traveling from southern Florida yesterday, and because of weather problems, had to land at National Airport in Washington and then Amtrak it the rest of the way. But I must have gone in and out of security four or five times, and to look at the people who are responsible for the domestic flights, many of them new arrivees to this country, no security training. The scanning instruments are not all that adequate. It's not like taking an international flight. So one could easily see how trained professional terrorists who've practiced their maneuvers over and over on a set day at a set time could take advantage of the laxness that exists in our domestic routes. And I think they just pointed out what we have failed to do in the past 10 years when we had a hijacking problem, when we had federal marshals who would actually ride on some of the domestic flights to counteract that terrorism. We've gotten lax, we've gotten weak, and our enemies have taken advantage of it.
All right, hang in there, guys. Curtis and Kuby, the morning host at our flagship WABC in New York. We are now also joined by Congressman Gary Ackerman of New York. Congressman Ackerman just recently got back from the Middle East, where he not only met with the Prime Minister of Israel, but also Yasser Arafat himself. How are you, Congressman? Welcome aboard.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you on this tragic day.
Well, it is sad. One of the things that has really saddened me, and we have a number of reports, some of them on the Washington Post online and elsewhere, that there's celebration going on in the Middle East. What do you make of that?
I've seen some of the clips of that.
Yeah. Are you there, Congressman?
Even.
Hello.
Yes, an absolutely evil act that people can't understand that for the life of me.
Yeah, well, I guess Congressman Ackerman is breaking up here. Maybe we can get another line here. But the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the attacks on the World Trade Center, according to the DBC and BBC and some other groups. And it's unclear 100% who is responsible, but that's what the reports that we have now. We have a couple of reports of some of what has gone on in the Middle East, and it's not fun and it's not interesting, but you can't believe it. We have, quote, according to the Washington Post online, demonstrators distributed candy in a traditional gesture of celebration. Several Palestinian gunmen shot in the air while other marchers carried Palestinian flags. One person, they quote, wearing a long black dress, threw sweets in the air, saying she was happy because, quote, America is the head of the snake. America always stands by Israel in its war against us. And another report on Yahoo that dozens of Palestinian refugees, again, firing shots into the air in celebration of this attack. I believe we have Congressman Ackerman back right now. Congressman, are you there? Oh, we don't have him back. All right. Well, I'll go back. Ron Kuby, when you hear something like that, is that shocking? I mean, it's so senseless when you look at these innocent men, women, and children that are victims here. It's not the United States government. These are men, women, and children.
Well, of course it's shocking. I mean, it's always shocking to see people celebrating the senseless slaughter of totally innocent people. I mean, unfortunately, this goes back a long time. I mean, we helped in the United States create these very Islamic cells. I mean, this Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman worked for the CIA. Osama bin Laden was funded in part by the CIA when they carried on their war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan as a matter of foreign policy. And unfortunately, they didn't just go away when the Soviets pulled out of Afghanistan and the Soviet Union collapsed. And they're still very much with us. And this hatred has been nurtured year after year, now generation after generation. I'm afraid there's no quick or easy solution to it.
Well, earlier today you were somewhat upset at the notion that, and I agree with you, we don't know 100% who did this, but certainly based on past history that it is certainly a possibility that it was somebody associated with Osama bin Laden or somebody else.
Right. I would certainly think that given the modus operandi, given the importance of the Trade Center as a symbol to the Islamist terrorist groups, certainly the most likely candidates are Islamist groups, whether they be Osama bin Laden or
Hang on, Ron. We got an ABC News update coming up, and we will come back on the other side right here.
America under attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program with this special report.
President Bush has flown to the Strategic Air Command at a Nebraska Air Force base today in the wake of the terrorist attacks that toppled New York City's World Trade Center towers and set the Pentagon on fire. ABC's Ann Compton is with the president.
President Bush is driving in a small black sedan across off the tarmac to a location where Ari Fleischer tells us that he will be able to participate in a National Security Council meeting by teleconference. The president has with him just a skeleton staff, Karl Rove, Andy Card, Ari Fleischer, of course, Dan Bartlett, Gordon Jandro. There are five members of the press corps allowed to travel with the president at this point.
The president said freedom itself had been attacked, and he vowed to pursue and punish the culprits. New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani said it was the worst thing he had ever seen, but he is urging New Yorkers and Americans to remain calm and not to let terrorists prevail.
We will strive now very hard to save as many people as possible and to send a message that the city of New York and the United States of America is much stronger than any group of barbaric terrorists.
The three buildings were struck by commercial jetliners. The death toll is not known, but New York Mayor Giuliani says it will be horrible. The U.S. military is on its highest state of alert. The Atlantic Fleet Command is positioning ships off the East Coast to provide air defenses for New York City and Washington. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Our coverage of America Under Attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program.
All right, as we continue on the Sean Hannity Show, America Under Attack, our toll-free number, 800-941-SEAM. We will be taking your calls, giving you an opportunity to respond to all that has happened today and the sad events that have been unfolding. Congressman Gary Ackerman is with us just back from the Middle East, meetings with the Prime Minister of Israel and with Yasser Arafat himself. Are you there, Congressman? Hopefully a better line.
I'm here, yeah. It's a little bit maddening here. I happen to be with in the good company of two of New York's finest who have been helping me out tremendously as well as this whole situation. I'm actually in Port Washington with them. There was a staging area set up here to send some of Long Island's emergency medical technicians by boat over to Manhattan, and we've just finished that, and our cell phone was kind of acting up. But
no, that's okay.
They scooted me over to a real phone at the Washington Yacht Club.
I think actually the mayor of New York, when he said, of course, we prepare for things like this regularly. I mean, they had command centers moved and command centers built and preparations for tragedies like this. But he goes, you never think it's going to happen like this. It's almost surreal when you look at what has happened. I mean, I can't imagine the next time that I fly around Manhattan as I approach LaGuardia Airport that I'm going to be in a position where those two massive, huge buildings, these incredible structures, are missing.
You're absolutely right, Sean. They've succeeded, at least for now, in changing the skyline of the city of New York, and they've also changed our lives forever. The way we're going to be doing business, the way we relate, our security, the way we travel, et cetera, in ways that we cannot even contemplate right now. But in the end, they're going to have to know, and I know that our president's going to make that clear, that this evil will not prevail, and that we will make sure that we track these horrible, evil people down and give them what they deserve.
You think the president has handled this properly?
We are all standing united, regardless of our political affiliation or personal philosophy, with our president. We have one president. He's the commander-in-chief. We're not going to second-guess. He is doing what he is supposed to be doing right now. We will find out as much as we can about how this happened and what we have to do to take steps to prevent, if at all possible, things like this happening in the future.
When we get the final numbers, and I think it will be devastating, Congressman Jim Moran has suggested that there's over 10,000 people that have died in this as a result of these attacks today.
Sean, if you think for a minute that you have 50,000 people working in at the World Trade Center building, and how many people can get out in 20 minutes, it's not a big number. I would think that 10,000 people dead might even be tragically to. I mean, it's hard even to think about these numbers. A low end kind of a guess. I think, unfortunately, it might be much higher in the tragedy. And you used the word surrealistic before. You're right, and it's Kafkaesque. And right now, it's a news story, and it's a blur, and it's on the screen, and we hear it on the radio reports, and we hear the eyewitnesses. But when things start to get ferreted out, and we all realize that we personally know, and everybody in America who's listening to your voice right now, who hears what you're saying, is going to know somebody. If you talk about that many people, is going to know somebody who perished in this disaster.
Listen, I just found out from wire reports that a very close, good friend of mine, somebody who's been on this program many, many times, Barbara Olson, was on that plane that crashed into the Pentagon today. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's exactly what's going to happen. The tragedies are going to start taking names and faces, and America is going to be not just in group mourning for a happening, but in personal mourning for people that they know and people who they're related to.
Let me ask you a tougher question. Is America soft? Is America in denial? Is America embarrassed by the idea that it has sworn enemies? Is it fearful of protecting itself?
I think that those who have acted in such a manner have unfortunately been brought to realism by
the occurrences of today, Black Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to have to redouble our national resolve, and those who haven't had that resolve before are going to have to find it if they've not found it already throughout the course of these events today.
You and I have spoken about this many, many times, and while we may disagree on some political issues, you and I have always agreed on, for example, what Israel must do and how it must defend itself. But is America in denial that there is a large or fairly large percentage of the world that hates America and will continue to hate America because we're prosperous, democratic, and free, and because we fight for freedom around the world?
If they're in denial, they've already had their rude awakening, and if they don't come to a sense of realism today, it's too late for them. But you're right. America does have sworn enemies. We have the same enemies in many instances that the state of Israel has because we have so many shared values. And we are, in the minds of others, because of those shared values, linked, and we become mm-hmm. we become the target of their hate. And I think that some people who have been critical before of the way Israel has been responded previously to acts of terrorism, and you and I agree, and we've discussed this. You know, if you know who the terrorists are and you know they're going to commit this act, what is wrong with going after them ahead of time? Why do you have to wait for a tragedy like this to happen? As soon as we ferret this all out, and we think we know the address of who's responsible for this, but our intelligence people are redoubling and rechecking and trying to reconstruct right. what's happening. I don't want to hear it from some of these people that that we overreacted. There is no such thing as an overreaction to the heinous crime against humanity that was committed today.
Congressman Gary Ackerman of New York checking in today, just back from the Middle East himself. Congressman, thank you for your time. Appreciate your insight. We now also go right back to our newsmaker line. Former Defense Secretary under the Reagan administration, Caspar Weinberger, is with us. Cap, how are you?
Well, thank you.
I wish we were talking under better circumstances. What are your thoughts on what happened today?
Well, obviously a national tragedy of the worst possible proportions and virtually a wartime situation, and we have to now, I think, concentrate first of all on helping as many of the injured people as we possibly can, and that also trying to find out how this could possibly have happened, how these planes could have been hijacked, how they could have gotten bombs and metal past the metal detectors in the airports, who is responsible. And as soon as we're definite who's responsible, then we have to take a terrible toll of in revenge. And we don't need to hear any worries about being too provocative or not civilized or whatever. We have to punish these people with every lethal weapon that we have as quickly as possible once we know who is responsible.
Hey,
the only way in which we're going to prevent it happening again.
Caspar Weinberg, I'm looking right now at the Fox News Channel, and what we see are images from earlier today of Palestinians celebrating the attack on the United States in the street. What does that tell us?
That tells us that they are one of the groups that that claimed the so-called credit for this. That tells us that that's a pretty good place to start our examination of who is responsible. And if they are responsible indeed, and it's not just some idle boast, why, then they are the ones who have to be punished. I would suspect that there are three or four groups involved from the magnitude of this conspiracy and the widespread nature of the attacks.
How is it possible? I go back to this one question. To hijack five commercial airliners from major airports, do so within a set time frame. I mean, how is such a thing possible? I mean, it would seem to me, Mr. Weinberger, that almost every system had to break down simultaneously.
Well, that's why we need to find out an awful lot more about what happened, because I agree with you. When you have the amount of protection that we have, and bear in mind that we're a democracy, and it's the well, there's much more protection that we could have. We've never wanted to pay the price for that. That's the kind of absolute security you get in dictatorships. But on the other hand, we do have a lot of protective measures. The metal detectors and all the rest, but in one way or another, they were overcome, and these planes were hijacked by some kind of group or groups working together, And in one sense, that may make it a little easier to find them. But the search must be unrelenting, and the punishment must be immediate and as drastic as we can imagine once we find them. We don't want any indiscriminate attacks, but as soon as we find out who did it, then they have to be subjected not to a long trial and not to a long investigation and not to a lot of columns and newspaper editorials, but immediate punishment. That's the only thing that people like that are going to understand.
Well, as you recall, that's what Reagan did with Libya and Muammar Gaddafi.
Exactly.
And by the way, we're joined on our Newsmaker line on the Sean Hannity Show by former Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger. Israel has been involved in a controversial practice of late, which is targeted assassinations. There is an executive order. It was in place when President Reagan was in office against the assassination of foreign leaders. It's Executive Order 12333, if you recall. Is that something that we should consider rescinding as a means of getting...
Been considering it for quite a while. I did an article on it recently for a strategic review, we have to find out if the foreign leader was actually directly involved and directly gave the orders. If so, there shouldn't be the slightest hesitation about not assassination, but simply disposing of him as quickly as possible. And if that means murdering him in the sense that it's on the books that that's what it's called, so be it. But these people have to understand that if they're going to perpetrate acts of this kind, that involve thousands and tens of thousands, I'm afraid, of innocent lives, they are going to be punished just as soon as they're found, and the search for them has to be absolutely relentless and unrelenting.
Yeah, former Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger on the Sean Hannity Show. Thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Just to give you a list of the planes that crashed today, American Airlines Flight 11, a Boeing 767 en route from Boston to Los Angeles. The plane was carrying 81 passengers, 9 flight attendants, 2 pilots. And the location of the crash has not been, that was one of the ones that went into World Trade Center. Also, American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757 from Dulles near Washington. United Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757. And United Airlines Flight 175, a Boeing 767 bound from Boston to Los Angeles. We're also going to be taking your calls, getting your reaction to America under attack and the terror that we've all experienced here today and the shock and that everybody's had. And our toll-free number, by the way, if you'd like to be on board, especially our New York audience at our flagship station, 77 WABC in New York, it's 1-800-941-SEAN, 1-800-941-SEAN. We'll start with Josh. He's in Little Neck. Josh, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Sad day for America.
Oh, horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Tell me what's going on. You apparently were there?
I was there. I work at 110 Wall Street, so I was at my office doing research in the morning. I'm a trader. And all of a sudden, the S&P futures plummeted. And I looked up. I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, I'm looking at my friends. What's going on? We look at CNBC, which we watch religiously in the morning, and we see the World Trade Center has a hole in it, you know, something flew into it. We thought it was just an accident, and, you know, some pilot made a mistake or whatever. And then, boom, the second plane hits, so they evacuate my building, and we are standing outside, basically, you know, just talking to each other, can't believe what's going on when the first building collapsed. I'm probably around 1,000 yards from this.
Yeah, for people that don't know, I mean, and this is the thing about the World Trade Center. I mean, it is, if you've ever been up to the top floor, there's 110 floor buildings we're talking about here.
Huge.
I mean, it is unbelievable. Let's put it this way. I'm now 35 or 40 minutes out of Manhattan. I couldn't get into our studios today because New York was shut down.
Right. Well,
I can actually look out of my window here. And we went up on the roof of this building in Garden City, 40 minutes, 45 minutes away,
right,
and we could see the skyline of New York and the black smoke that's coming down here. And look, I got to be honest, I've interviewed over the years a lot of terrorist experts, a lot of them, and a lot of them have been warning that this type of terror attack would make it to U.S. soil, and that, quote, and they've lectured us that in many ways the United States has been somewhat immune to this type of attack.
Yeah.
But maybe now this is something we've got to take seriously. I think it's got to be a fundamental understanding that Americans collectively, conservative, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, have got to understand that America no longer needs to be in denial. There's nothing wrong with us recognizing that this is a dangerous world. that there are a lot of people out there that hate this country, that will continue to hate us, hate what we stand for, hate what we believe in, hate the freedom that we have, hate the stands that we take, hate the fact that we defend freedom around the world. And
yeah.
And this is what I think more than anything else has got to become clear to people.
Well, we're the hegemonic power, you know? So yep. They're looking to take us down. And today, they really, it's an eye-opening experience. They've gotten here, you know? I've always felt safe, and today, life as you know it has changed.
Josh, thank you. Appreciate your call.
Okay.
800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. We got Steve in Forest Hills next on the Sean Hannity Show. Steve, hello. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
We've had better days, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'll say that. But anyway, I was at 4 Albany Street at the time. Actually, it was 8:50 a.m., and I thought I had smelled smoke, maybe from a gas explosion. But I didn't think twice about it until someone had come over to me and said, look, the World Trade Center is on fire. And I'm thinking, that soon? Because I did hear some explosion of some sort. And I did right away think that it was too big for a small plane to cause. So I was already thinking Osama bin Laden was behind this somehow. And we were given the orders to evacuate the building, which was, as I mentioned, one block away. As soon as I got down to the sidewalk, I did see the second jet just overhead, maybe 500 feet or so overhead. I just looked away, ducked. And then as soon as the explosion happened, it looked like fireworks were coming out of the building.
Well, look, America, we all saw these images, or most of us have, and if you haven't, you'll go home tonight and you will see these two massive structures. Not only we have the one shot of the plane actually hitting the second building, mm-hmm. and we have these massive structures falling to the ground. But America's got to come to a realization. What happened today is an act of war. And when a war is declared against the United States, like it was at Pearl Harbor, you unite and you do everything possible to track down these cowardly scum that went after innocent men, women, and children, because they were the victims today. And collectively, then, we are all victims, because if we're not safe in the cities in which we live, in the cities in which we work, then we've all got to understand that we are vulnerable, and this cannot stand. And that means that we have got to find these people wherever they are, wherever they are hiding, whoever they associate with, whoever may potentially be involved, and there's got to be serious, swift retribution wherever we find them, wherever we find them. You know, it was interesting, after Reagan bombed Gaddafi, we didn't hear much from him after that. And perhaps there have been indications with Osama bin Laden, perhaps, if he ultimately we find out he's responsible for this, you know, where we had opportunities in the past to really track him down, and perhaps we missed those opportunities. And certainly we're going to be talking about doing more to make our nation's airports secure and our nation's cities secure, that something like this could never happen again. 4 commercial airliners hijacked at the same time in a set time frame. We got to take a break. The Sean Hannity Show. We have an update from ABC News coming straight ahead. 1-800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll be taking your calls.
America Under Attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program with this special report.
In the aftermath of a terrorist nightmare, President Bush must now decide what to do next. ABC's Ann Compton is with him at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. That's the site of the military Strategic Air Command.
President Bush is driving in a small black sedan across off the tarmac to a location where Ari Fleischer tells us that he will be able to participate in a National Security Council meeting by teleconference. The president has with him just a skeleton staff: Karl Rove, Andy Card, Ari Fleischer, of course, Dan Bartlett, Gordon Jandro. There are 5 members of the press corps allowed to travel with the president at this point.
It comes after this morning's attacks on New York City and Washington. 2 planes slammed into the World Trade Center this morning. Not long after that, a plane plunged into the Pentagon. Congressional leaders have been taken to a secured site, as well as the Bush cabinet. The nation's capital is under a state of emergency. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Our coverage of America Under Attack continues on the Sean Hannity Program.
All right, as we continue on, glad you're with us, Sean Hannity Show, coast to coast, America Under Attack. And if you're just getting in your car, the tragedy strikes America, terrorism today. Terrorists apparently hijacking four planes, attacking the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And how this could have happened, we'll find out in the days and weeks to come. Sadly, I found out just literally about 2 minutes before I came on the air today, 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock out on the West Coast, that somebody who's a very dear friend of mine, somebody I've gotten to know over the years, somebody who was a regular guest on this program, was on the plane that was crashed into the Pentagon. And actually, here to help to tell us a little bit more about Barbara Olson and what he may know is Mark Levin, who also fills in on this program. Mark, I know you and I were both very close to Barbara. She's a terrific lady. Are you there?
I'm here. You know, obviously what's happened today is utterly devastating, and people are going to have to toughen up, and we're going to have to respond in a devastating way. But let me just tell you quickly about Barbara. This was a lady who was full of life, who was, you know, always took the right position on these ethics issues and legal issues. And I know her husband, Ted Olson, the Solicitor General of the United States, is really shaken to his, right down to his heels. And I'm sure there's going to be so many people out there who are going to know so many wonderful people who've been killed or maimed by this. And the number of innocent, wonderful civilian people who are dead today thanks to this little rotten band of conniving weaklings.
Cowards, weaklings, scum.
And let me just say, and then I'm going to leave you, Sean. Let me just say that I have the utmost confidence in the leadership here that Rumsfeld is one tough old cookie over there at defense. And so is Cheney. And Colin Powell is too. And they're going to find out what happened here. And everybody is together on this, regardless of party and race and religion. Everybody understands what's at stake here. They struck at America. They killed all kinds of Americans, regardless of background. Wonderful people all. And for this, they must pay. It must be a devastating retribution. And that's all I have to say.
Mark Levin joining us here on the Sean Hannity Show. Coast to coast, Mark, I know you lost a friend as I did, and our thoughts and prayers not only go out to Ted Olson and their family, but also to all the victims' families. Joining us, former Attorney General of the United States, Ed Meese, is with us. Mr. Meese, thank you for being with us. It's a sad day for this country.
Yes, it certainly is, and something that I don't think... I think all of us have feared, but we've never thought it would happen, this certainly in the immensity that it has today.
Yeah, you know, that was what struck me when Mayor Giuliani said, and the mayor I know is not an emotional person, and he was quite choked up, and he said all the years you spend planning for this, never ever thinking, you know, something like this could happen. I guess what really is just stuck in my craw, Mr. Attorney General, is how is it possible to hijack four commercial airliners from major airports in the United States do so within a set time frame?
Well, I think what we have seen here is a very carefully organized, heavily supported, and well-executed terrorist attack. And I think it indicates that we have an organization here that is extremely deadly and extremely well planned and carrying this out in a way that I don't think anyone would have anticipated before this actual occurrence.
Yeah, and America's reaction to such a thing, find out who's responsible, act swiftly.
Well, I think that's obviously very necessary, just as we did back in the days when President Reagan took the retaliation raid against Libya, after that was ascertained that they were responsible. So I think action is important, but I think it also illustrates the greater danger that we have today from terrorism, probably greater than we've ever had in history.
Yeah. Is America in denial? I mean, you know, I guess as well as anybody, being at the highest levels of government for years, that there are many in the world that hate the United States, hate what we represent, hate our prosperity, hate democracy, hate freedom.
Yes, that's unfortunately true, but I don't think we've ever before had an opponent, an adversary like this, that actually took it to the stage of actually waging war on the United States.
It is a war, isn't it?
Yes, I don't think there's any question. Just the damage itself that you're watching on television, that you've heard about on the radio, illustrates that it has all the aspects of a war.
Mm-hmm. You knew Barbara Olson. Did you? I assume you just heard in the last segment that she was in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon.
Yes, I knew her well, and I'm extremely saddened by this tragedy, and my greatest sympathy goes out to her husband.
Yeah. Does this mean that perhaps now the debate over defense and national security has shifted? I mean, those perhaps that were believers that we had a peace dividend, now that notion, that belief, that understanding is gone?
Well, I think this certainly will signify to even the most recalcitrant members of Congress the importance of being prepared, not only in our defense, but also in terms of our intelligence capabilities, our law enforcement capabilities, and particularly human intelligence. I think in the 1970s, we had this almost total wipeout of our overseas intelligence networks due to some bad decisions by Congress and by the administration then. Mm-hmm. And I think we're now reaping the results of that, because once you disband these networks of agents in various countries, it takes literally decades to reestablish them.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that clearly was transparent here, you mentioned it was well-orchestrated, well-organized, well-planned attack against the United States. But also, I mean, it goes to this level that the terrorists who apparently hijacked these four planes and attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon could only have succeeded by using their own trained pilots, because I couldn't imagine a pilot, even with a gun to his head, flying into the World Towers. I can't imagine that happening.
I think that's absolutely right, and I suspect, we don't know yet, of course, but I suspect that the plane that went down in Pennsylvania was the pilot doing everything he could to resist that taking over the plane. The other pilots apparently didn't get that opportunity or were overpowered, whatever it happened to be.
We're almost out of time. You were at the highest levels of government, as I mentioned, around the president at the time. We bombed Gaddafi. What should President Bush be doing tonight, and should he address the nation again?
Well, I think he should address the nation, particularly after a little more is known. I think there are three things that have to happen. Number one, doing everything possible to relieve the suffering that's taking place now, to console the families of the victims. Number two, to expand the investigation worldwide, utilizing the intelligence agencies of other countries as well to ascertain the culprits. And then third, taking the appropriate retaliatory action.
Yeah. All right. Former Attorney General Ed Meese on the Newsmaker line on the Sean Hannity Show. Mr. Attorney General, always appreciate your time. Wish it was under better circumstances. Appreciate you being with us. And I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap up this hour here. It is the equivalent of Pearl Harbor, and we'll get more of your reaction, your thoughts, your calls, questions, and perhaps some of you that were witnesses to a lot of what was unfolding today. You can give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-800-941-SEAN. 1-800-941-7326. As we continue, glad you're with us. It's the Sean Hannity Show, coast to coast on the ABC Radio Network. 800-941-SEAN.